Since the beginning of time, marriage has been the foundation of society. And one of the secrets of success in marriage is you don't have to marry the perfect person who's just like you.
Yeah, you see, God has created each of us with a unique set of strengths that when celebrated, rather than stifled, can unlock the true potential of your marriage. In strengths-based marriage, we've drawn from more than 50 years of research from the Gallup Institute, combined with over 35 years of experience in marriage counseling, to develop an incredibly exciting resource that can literally revolutionize your relationship and prepare you for a lifetime of passion and intimacy. And we can't wait to share it with
you.
That's
right. When you learn to recognize and focus on the strengths of your spouse, you'll be able to celebrate what's right about them and value their God-given differences, not resent them. Mm. So join us on this journey to explore how implementing a strengths-based marriage can bring you closer together than ever before with your spouse.
Dr. Donald O. Clifton was a forerunner in positive psychology. Through his research, he identified 34 universal strengths that exist within each individual. Working with Gallup, he developed the Strengths Finder Assessment, which reveals how our unique order of strengths affect the way we engage with the world around us, influencing our thoughts, feelings, and behavior. Thousands of businesses, teams, and churches have harnessed this strengths-based approach to interacting, resulting in stronger relationships and greater performance. So, what happens when you apply these same ideas to your own personal relationships, or even your marriage? On this journey, you will discover how to thrive in your strengths, recognize the positive traits in your partner, and develop your own strengths-based marriage.
So I'm on my way home from work, and my lovely bride, Stephanie, calls me and says, "Listen, we're running out of milk. Would you swing by the store and pick it up?" I said, "Yes, of course. It's easy for me to do. It's convenient on the way home." So I pull into the store, I go in, find the refrigerator section. By the way, have you always noticed the milk's always in the back and they make you go all the way to the back of the store? It's never right there. Anyway, so I go all the way back, get to the refrigerator, I open the door, and one of my coworkers is right there. And her name is Janae. So I see her, I'm like, "Oh, Janae, how are you doing?" We chit-chat for a couple of seconds. I grab my milk, I head to the counter, pay for the milk, and head home. So I get to the house, and Stephanie's waiting for me. She's there. She's doing some meal preparation and working with the girls, our kids. And she says to me, you know, what she normally does, which is, you know, "How are you, honey? How is your day? What can you tell me?" She's basically inviting communication, wanting to hear from me what's going on. And as I'm putting the milk away, I'm just kind of telling her about my day. You know, "This is what happened, and then this is what happened, and I had this meeting, and then I was on my way home, and then you called me to get the milk, so I went there, and I saw Janae at the counter, and I got the milk, and then I went home." And so she's like, "Okay, whoa. Who did you see?" So now she's zeroed in on a particular piece of my communication, and she's hunting for details. And she starts asking me all these questions. "Who was by the refrigerator?" "It was Janae." "What were you guys talking about? Where were you standing? How long were you standing there? What was the topic of conversation? Was she leaving? Did she have a big basket? She got all these questions for me. And in my mind, I got this dialogue going, and I'm thinking to myself, why is this the Spanish Inquisition right now? Why do I have all these questions? And what is this? She probably suspects something is going on here. Wait, does she think I'm fooling around with her? Like, what is that? Why is she asking me all these questions? I don't understand." And I start to get defensive. I start, this crazy set of ideas starts to roll through my head of what is motivating this persistent line of questioning. And I start raising my tone, raising the quality of what I'm saying. I'm pushing back on her. I'm becoming defensive. She starts saying to herself, "Well, wait a second. Why is he not telling me what's happening here? Is he withholding from me? There's details here I need. Why won't you tell me what's going on? Are you covering something?" Oh, my gosh. And pretty soon, this thing just explodes, right? It just gets all the way out of control, and it becomes a big deal that we have to take time to sit down and work out and everything, and it's a mess. This is a very real, very possible scenario in an average marriage. And it starts with the littlest, most normal thing. And what's behind it all is actually a completely normal and good and healthy strength that's motivating all of this. And the only problem is we don't know that this is what's happening, and so we misdiagnose the situation. See, Stephanie has connectedness. And what connectedness does is it looks to weave together all of these crazy random facts from the day and form a story out of them, because people with connectedness know that nothing happens by coincidence. Everything happens for a reason, and there's a story behind it all. Then when you add the fact that this is a woman of faith who knows that God is involved in our lives, then it is not a coincidence that I happened to meet Janae. So what she's looking for is to try to understand where the God moment was in that interaction. And so she's hunting. She's hunting for details. She wants to fill in the rest of the story. She wants to see the big picture. She wants to see God in that moment. And I don't understand it. I'm misdiagnosing it completely. I think she's suspicious of me and Janae. How ridiculous is that? How far is that from the truth? It's nothing like what's really going on, but it's so easy for that to become the reality. So do you see what I'm saying? Connectedness is at the root of her questions. Her questions are sourced in a heart that is open and loving. Honey, tell me about your day. Oh, you saw Janae. This is fantastic. There's a God moment here. This feels like it's not random. I want to know what it is. And on the other end of it, I'm just getting all defensive and all this. It's crazy. This is what happens when we don't understand our strengths. This is what goes on when we don't know how to call it out, see it for what it is, and call it good. It changes the quality of your interactions. So later, we're going through this conversation. We finally work it out. It takes us forever. It's late in the evening. And in parting, she offers this statement to me. You know, I just feel invisible in this house. And I realize that that is a more meaningful statement than I've ever really understood her say before. What she's saying is, I don't feel seen. The kinds of things you do and the kinds of things you say, Alan, they don't let me feel like you really see me. I mean, you acknowledge my presence, you respond to what I do, but you don't really see me. So this leads me to the real reason I want to talk with you today, and it's the difference between praise and affirmation. See, praise has everything to do with what you just did. It's specifically targeted at an action. So if an amazing vocalist gets up on a platform and delivers this amazing song, what do we do when it's over? We clap for them. What is that? It's praise, because it's aimed directly at the activity that just happened. It's a recognition. It says, hey, good job. Thank you. You know, and as believers, if it happens to be in a church experience, then we're going to be clapping. And part of what we're doing is saying, hey, we want to honor you for the work you've done to develop this capacity. It's a talent. You've made it stronger. We're great for that. We're also saying to God, we honor you for the gift you've given this individual, and we enjoyed the whole delivery. It was amazing. It's all involved in this praise thing. And if you go to the vocalist and ask them how they feel in that moment, the minute they come off the platform, they're on a high. It feels like a rush. This feels good. I feel honored or praised, and it feels great. You come back to them in 10 minutes, they're right off of that high. Everything's normal again, and we're back to just everyday life. Praise specifically targets what you do and tells you, you know, gives you the attaboy, tells you thank you for it. I get a couple buddies to come over and help me move the couch. When they're done, I tell them, thank you for helping me move the couch. That's praise. Recognition for something that's done. Affirmation, though, is completely different. Affirmation speaks exclusively to who you are. See? And the problem with this is, if I don't actually know who you really are, I mean really, then when I try to throw affirmation your way, if it doesn't hit with you, if it doesn't sit right with you, it actually has the opposite effect. It feels manipulative. I feel like I'm politicking you, like I'm shaking hands, you know, and kissing babies, like I have some other kind of motive. So you become suspicious. You begin to think, why is this person trying to butter me up? What do they want? And so you become defensive and you push the activity of that person away. That's why affirmation is missing, because half of the time we don't know the person. And then when we try to affirm in that circumstance, it's misdiagnosed and we reject it. See, affirmation speaks exclusively to who the person is. And if you don't really know who they are, it misses. See, praise, I can lob over the fence. If it lands on your side of the house, it's a win. It's good. Thanks for helping me with that thing. Okay, good. I got it. 10 minutes later, there's no difference. If I want to affirm you, I have to speak to who you are, which means I have to know something about who you are. And the fastest way to know that kind of accuracy is to understand somebody's strengths. If you know your spouse's strengths, like I know Stephanie has connectedness, then in that situation, and she starts peppering me with all those questions, and my natural reaction is to go, whoa, wait a minute, why are you chasing me? I could just go, wait a second. This is her connectedness in operation. And I could affirm her by saying, sweetheart, I see you're looking for this connection in the story. What detail do you need from me to piece it all together? And she could ask me a couple more questions. I could give her the answers, and she would find the weave that makes sense for her, and we'd all be good. But instead, I'm rejecting her. She doesn't feel seen. The whole thing falls apart. We end up arguing. It's a mess. Can you see how knowing each other's strengths and being able to use them to powerfully affirm each other, using words like, I see your connectedness, and I know you know there's a story in here somewhere. How can I help that? When I say that to her, she goes, this man gets me right now. He totally understands my motivation. He totally sees me on the inside, and I'm so in love with him, I'm gonna double cook these potatoes, or whatever the action is, right? It's just a way to feel seen. It's a way to feel recognized. And I'm telling you, affirmation is basically missing in marriages across America. We have got to resurrect this powerful, powerful need. And one of the best ways to do it is to understand each other's strengths and practice in your mind and in your behavior the action of finding a strength in your spouse, call it out, and recognize them and how they think, not just what they do, how they think and what's motivating them. When you do that, you're going to speak affirmation to your spouse, and I promise you, you'll see signs of their blossoming in a way that you have never recognized before. And let me give you this one as a kicker. It's a powerful aphrodisiac. I'm just giving you that for free.
TBN wants you to discover the truths and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more. And as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
If you're just tuning in, welcome to Strengths-Based Marriage. We have a guest couple with us today. Let's have a look at how their strengths influence their marriage.
Today's couple is Clayton and Ashley Hurst from Houston, Texas. Clayton's top five strengths are harmony, positivity, arranger, individualization, and self-assurance. Ashley's top five strengths are ideation, strategic, intellection, significance, and connectedness.
Clayton and Ashley, it's so great to have you here with us today. Thank you so much for joining. Now, I know who you are because we have a little history, but for the benefit of all of our listeners, would you say a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. Well, we have been married for 21 years. We are the marriage and parenting pastors at Lakewood Church in Houston. We've been doing that role for about 4 years now. Mm-hmm. We love talking about strengths. We love helping marriages. The book has been tremendous in everything that we do at the church and helping couples across the board. So
yeah, so when we got married, you know, we had the makings of such a great marriage. Both of our parents have been married for, at the time, over 40 years.
Wow.
That we were raised in a Christian home. So we had this makings of such a great marriage. But 5 years into our marriage, we needed help because we had fun together. You know, I loved being with him. I felt secure with him, but it was like 5 years into our marriage, we didn't know what to do because sometimes I didn't feel secure. Sometimes I didn't feel loved. And so we were at a place where we needed help. And so if it wasn't for the help of some friends and some books that we read, I don't know what we would have done. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible, Proverbs 21:3 that says that house is built by wisdom, mm-hmm. and each room is filled by knowledge, and those are filled with jewels. And so we didn't have the knowledge before we got married. We had all the makings of this awesome marriage, but we didn't have the knowledge that you need to have a great marriage. And so that's where we were lacking, and that's what we are so passionate about helping other couples with now, is the knowledge to have a great marriage.
Yeah. You guys have really engaged with strengths very powerfully, and it seemed to click with you right away. Mm-hmm. And you referencing some, you know, some speed bumps a little bit early on in the road in your marriage. Was there a moment where you saw a connection between the knowledge of your strengths and then how that might resolve something for you in your marriage?
Yeah, I think for us, it was, we had taken the Strength Finders test years ago, it really just for ourselves, but we'd never put the two and two together about this could help us in our marriage. Mm. I think for us, the light bulb moment was probably right around our oldest daughter's, one of her birthdays. Mm-hmm. We were gonna have a pool party outside. Well, we had taken the test and we began to talk about our strengths. And harmony is my number one, and strategic is at, I think, number two for Ashley, very high for Ashley. Well, she was talking about, well what are we gonna do if it rains? And I kept thinking, oh, well, we don't have to worry about that. We just need to believe, we've prayed, it's gonna be.
It was your positivity.
It was my positivity.
Positivity.
But I was also incorporating some harmony, trying to just bring peace to the house.
Yeah. You know,
because I could tell it was weighing on her. But I think through that situation, we really opened up in
communication. Yeah, I kept saying, you need a plan. We need a plan B. We need a plan B. And he was like, just believe. It's going to be okay.
And we came out of that and we really realized that, oh my gosh, we're functioning in our strengths.
Yeah.
You know, she was completely engaged in her strengths, learning how to do the strategic side of it. And I had never validated that before.
Yeah.
And so when I first heard that and saw that, oh my gosh, she's not being negative, you know, because that's how it was kind of coming across to me. She wasn't being negative. She was being strategic.
Yeah.
So she was actually helping the situation, not trying to dampen it. And I think she saw from my perspective, you know, I was always not just trying to stay positive or keep peace and keep harmony in the house, but I was trying to maybe help her see from a different perspective. And so I think through that, we really learned how to communicate on a deeper level than ever before.
Yeah, when I read that definition of strategic and saw that this type of person needs a plan B, C, and D, it was huge for me because for years I had prayed, God, help me to be positive like Clayton. Why can't I be positive like Clayton? You know, what is wrong with me?
Wow.
And so when I saw that definition and saw, it was, oh my goodness, I am not negative, I'm strategic.
Right.
It's okay that I have a plan B, C, and D.
Yeah.
It was huge for me. We even shared this story at a thing that we taught at, and a lady came down front in tears, and she said, I'm you, I'm that strategic person. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Mm.
That my husband is positivity, I am that person. And I was like, yeah, it's huge. It was a huge light bulb moment for us.
Oh, that's so great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're in this episode that deals specifically with affirmation. And in order for us to be able to affirm each other, you genuinely have to actually know some truthful things about one another mm-hmm. in order to do that. And I have this exercise I wonder if you guys would work with me on so that you could see each other more clearly through a particular strength. And then we'll talk about some affirmation on the other side of that. You all right with that?
Sure.
All right. So, Clayton, I was going to start with you, but we need to do ladies first. So, Ashley, I'm going to come to you first.
Sure.
I want you to think of one of your strengths and then tell me which one you would like to pick. And then I'm just going to lead you to answer some phrases as I open them.
Okay. I think I'll stick with strategic.
Okay. Good.
Because I use that one a lot.
So, the essence of strategic is that you love to begin with the end in mind. You just see all the varieties of options and you naturally pick the fastest and most efficient way to get there.
Yeah.
So in your lane of strategic, okay, stay in that thought process and use that knowledge to just kind of answer the following phrases from your own life. I will
have a plan, and if that plan doesn't work, I will have another plan.
Yes, I believe that. Okay, I need
to have the freedom to have a plan because I don't like chaos.
Mm. Ah, so I have strategic too, and I would say I need variety. Mm. There's something about my strategic that calls for that. I have no idea why. Mm.
I feel like I bring things to a whole. Like I can connect the dots because I have connectedness too.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like strategic connectedness and ideation all come together where I can bring something really valuable to the table to get a plan in action and make sure it gets done and to make sure there's not any pitfalls.
Okay, I totally see that.
Yeah.
All right, so there's no right or wrong answers here. There's just learning, right? So the purpose of the phrases is just to solicit more learning. Mm-hmm. Tell me about you and how you think and what's going on in that, you know, in that particular strength. Clayton, you ready? You got one in mind?
I'm kind of bouncing around the different
Come
ones.
Come on, pick one.
Let's go with a ranger.
All right. Ooh, good one.
Yeah, let's go with a ranger.
I have no idea about this one whatsoever. So you're out in thin air, pal. All right, starting with number one, I will
arrange everything we face in a way that we can walk through it together, in a way that we can do it together, in a way that we can enjoy whatever it is we're doing.
So your arranger is built around unity. Seems like you like to pull toward unity.
Yeah. I love doing that. And actually, after we got to talking, that the strategic and my arranger work really well together.
All right. Staying in your arranger lane, I need
to arrange things all the time.
Come on now.
No, I'm serious. From packing a bag. I love packing her bag. She'll put everything out if we're going on a trip. Mm. She'll put everything out, and I'll ask her, is this everything? Because I think about everything, and then I will fold it, and I will arrange it properly in the bag to where she'll have plenty of room left over.
Oh, my gosh.
Amazing.
Where were you last week when I ordered that?
It's like Mary Poppins' bag. You know how you can just keep putting things in it?
Yeah.
That's how it is when he packs my bag. I mean, it's incredible.
And when she lets me do that, I love it. And it's like you referenced in the book, I'm on the juice.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so when I'm arranging in that, I need that continuously.
All right, so the next one is I bring. From an arranger perspective, what do you bring?
I think I bring order. I bring where the chaos is, or where, you know, we've got a house with three kids. I can help establish and bring order with that arranger.
I see that. All right, I must.
I must have the opportunity to arrange daily.
Yeah.
Anywhere, and really, whether that's at home, whether that's on the job, whether that's helping the kids, anywhere I could possibly do it, I must arrange things just to bring that peace.
So now that the two of you have had a little bit more clarity, I mean, you know each other well, and so these nuances you already know, but for the rest of the viewing audience, they know a little bit more about you. So now that that's true, how would you affirm each other using one of these ideas, or how have you in the past?
I think, you know, Ashley mentioned ideation. I love giving her that opportunity to flow in those gifts. And there was one time in particular, we were working on a project at the church and she couldn't be in the meeting. And in this meeting, we were thinking about ideas that were coming up. And we had been, you know, just thinking for probably close to an hour, and nobody could come up with the idea. And I said, oh my goodness, I can call Ashley. I called her, and in a 2-minute conversation, I told her the situation, told her that we needed that. And she said, oh, well, you could do this, this, and this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Why didn't I call you, you know, an hour ago? And she felt affirmed in that, because I said, you know what, we would have been here all day. But you did that. You know, you used your gifts, you used your strengths, and it took it to a completely different level for us.
Yeah. Ashley, what about you?
For me, I hope it's okay I mentioned one that's not in his top five. Number 6 is responsibility. And when we had taken the test before, it was higher. And that was one that used to really frustrate me too, because he would commit to things sometimes without telling me. Mm. But by golly, he had to do it. Like, there was no stopping him, and it caused some friction between us. But once I saw that that was one of his strengths, he understood it too, and he would make sure to tell me. Now he always asks me before he commits to anything. But now I know if I say yes, I cannot go back on my word. And so I'm always so appreciative of that in him, because people know that of him. They ask him to do things because they know he's going to get it done, because he's so responsible.
Yeah.
And so I just always try to affirm him in that, because I think sometimes when they have that responsibility too, you know, a man's number one need that Jimmy talks about all the time is honor. And I feel like sometimes I was dishonoring him sometimes in his responsibility, when I would be like, why are you doing that? You know, and now I try to really show him honor in his responsibility. You know, when he commits to something, you know, I want him to let him know how proud I am of him, that he's following through with that.
Yeah.
You know, even though sometimes it's something silly, he might say, I'm going to help this person move. And I'm like, well, you know, it's going to rain or this or that. It's probably not. Oh, it is a big deal. He is going to help that person move. And I can't do anything to stop him with that. So now I try to encourage him in that, instead of bringing him down.
Well, that's I love your feedback. You guys are so connected to your strengths. Thank you so much for joining us today on the episode. I loved getting to understand a little bit more about you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
Good to have you.
I love to see stories like that. That's why we do what we do, and an example of the impact these powerful resources can have on your marriage.
Yeah, for example, maybe your number one strength is empathy and your spouse's strength is to be restorative. Being aware of that is so important because it will help you to understand how each of you think. Because while someone who is empathetic will feel what others are feeling, a restorative spouse will see a problem and try to fix it. They both want there to be resolution and understanding, peace and growth, but their perspectives are completely opposite and, if misunderstood by each other, can be cause for some really heated discussion.
But trust me, no matter what situation you're in, your marriage can thrive in every area, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. And we want to help you experience that today. So request your strengths-based marriage resources with your gift and discover the principles you need to see yourself, your spouse, and your marriage in a new, amazing way.
TBN wants you to discover the truth and principles found in strengths-based marriage, and you will begin to see your relationship with your spouse in a whole new way. Call or go online to request this powerful collection today with your gift of $120 or more, and as our thank you for supporting TBN, we will rush these incredible resources to you today. Call 800-626-7454 or visit tbn.org/strongmarriage.
Isn't it incredible what words of praise and affirmation can do to the heart of those we're closest to? When we can look at the ways our spouse differs from us and speak to them in an admiring and appreciative manner, it can solidify a bond of safety and security that's hard to break. It's God's master design to pair two people with different strengths and weaknesses to complement and complete each other. That's not always easy, especially when we've been hurt.
Tune in next time to learn how we often try to protect ourselves from pain by making dangerous promises to ourselves. What we think will keep us safe can actually make us isolated, and the walls we build set ourselves and even our spouses up for failure. But there's hope and a better way to approach our pain, which we'll delve into more in the next episode of Strength-Based Marriage, and we'll see you then.